Amen. I always thank God for our worship team, and I'm going to miss Christmas songs. I could sing them all the way into January. I could really sing them all year long, just beautiful message of what Christ has done. I think a few of you were with me just 3 or 4 days ago, right? We just had a great time on Christmas Eve, and it's just a blessing to be back and to share with you at this time of year. The Lord has encouraged so many of us these past few days. There's been a privilege to spend time with loved ones and friends to really encourage those that really matter most. And hopefully you had some genuine time with those that you care for and those that you love. Maybe you enjoy some great family traditions, a special meal, special dessert, or maybe a favorite family game. Maybe grandpa and grandma told stories of Christmases past and shared a funny event about mom and dad as kids. Whatever the tradition, I hope you had one of the most glorious Christmases ever. One of my favorite family games at Christmas is a game called Pictionary, but my favorite TV game show of all time is called Jeopardy. And this has been a historic year for that game show. Jeopardy, the original daytime version, it did debut on March 30th, 1964 on NBC. And so America's favorite quiz program celebrated its 50th anniversary this year. Another groundbreaking thing about this season is that this show marks its 30th year with Alex Trebek as its host. Jeopardy! Alex Trebek, age 73, was awarded a Guinness World Record for the most game show episodes hosted by the same presenter. As of Friday, June 13, 2014, he's hosted a whopping 6,829 shows. He has been the host of the syndicated game show consistently since 1984 and has reportedly asked 416,569 questions. That's just a normal afternoon for a 3 or 5 year old. Why, mommy? Why? Why? Why, mommy? Why? I have for a long time wondered what it would be like to be on that program. Well, today, you guys have the privilege to be part of my unofficial audition for Jeopardy. For the first time on CFC stage, we begin with CFC Jeopardy. And the categories are this: basketball, wait till next year, Christmas trees, truly he taught us, and Twitter feeds. And I will take basketball for 600. This team may be the first one to play in the NCAA finals and the NBA finals in the same year. Who is the Kentucky Wildcats? I will take wait till next year for 800. These two teams had this as their motto in 2014. Who are the Chicago Cubs and IU basketball Hoosiers? I didn't get a much laugh on that last night either. You can't link UK and IU that close together. I will take Christmas trees for 200. Name the months that Christmas trees should be up at your house. What are trees up in November, December, and January? Great. Trees still up in June, July, and August? That's just weird. I will take Twitter feeds for 400. In 2011, after a 7-year breakup, this doll couple announced on Twitter that they were back together. Would anyone have a guess? What'd you say? Barbie and Ken, but you know what? She would still lose because you have to form it in the form or phrase it in the form of a question. So who are Barbie and Ken? Now, I had all boys, but I'm wondering, how did I miss this? Barbie and Ken been together 43 years since 1961, but in 2004, they split up. I wonder what happened. What happened to Barbie and Ken? Who counseled them? Maybe it was an action figure of Dr. Phil. Now, Barb and Ken, this ain't my first rodeo. You know that dog don't hunt. So how's that working for you, Ken? And I did hear that during the breakup, Barbie got the Malibu dream house, and Ken was living in a Motel 6 in Cleveland. Lastly, I will take "Truly He Taught Us" for 1,000. This single event changed the world and history forever. You probably could say it with me. What is the birth of Jesus Christ? As we begin our time in the Word today, let us look at the scriptures in Luke 2. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary pondered up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Pray with me once more. Lord, we love you. We love your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would teach us. You would make it rich and real in our hearts, and that, Lord, when we leave this place, it would not just be words on a page, but it would be words in our hearts, words we could live by. We glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin with what challenged those shepherds. What challenged them? And I've labeled it a revelation from the word. They said this, "Let's go and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." This phrase represents a primary thing that anyone experiences when they are drawn to the Lord Jesus. When they're drawn to him, when they come to faith, they must hear and believe the revelation truth about the Lord. The spoken word and the written word are both instrumental in bringing us to the living word, the person of the Lord Jesus. And these shepherds heard the angels. They had heard earlier that a Savior was born in Bethlehem. They had heard that this would be good news for all people. They had heard the angels glorifying God and exalting this newborn king. They had heard it, and they believed it because they said, "Let's not just sit down and do nothing. Let's move out." They had experienced personally what we can experience as well, the Lord making his message and mission known to us. We can know that he wants his word to be clear to us and not just a hidden mystery. The clarity that they enjoyed was somewhat incomplete because it would take years for the story to be told in its entirety. But I wonder, in fact, I would hope that some of these shepherds lived for 33 years. Some of these shepherds saw this babe grow up to be a man and grow up and begin to do some amazing, amazing things. And the miracle story, which began with them and angels in the sky in a little manger, I would hope that these men would have lived to see the miracles of Jesus, to see Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead and feed 5,000. I would hope these shepherds, as they were motivated that night, that they would understand that what started out in a field would actually culminate on a cross in an empty tomb. They had realized they could be acceptable to God even with their struggles, their frustrations, their sins, their mistakes, all the things that other people would reject them for. Jesus would accept them and cleanse them and give them hope for a new life. One man helped me with this insight, with this observation. Acceptability with God is a relationship God gives. Both believing and obeying are parallel ways one acknowledges dependence on God. So insightful. The shepherds knew, as we should know, that believing and obeying are what helps to show a relationship with the Lord which is permanent and which is fruitful, that will last. And Colossians 1 helps us as well. "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Paul was wanting that church, as he wants us as well, to live a life worthy of him, to believe, but also let our trust go on to life that would live it out, or a life that would live it out. We also will continue with this insight. Those shepherds not only believed the word, but they proclaimed it. They spread the word, a proclamation from God's word as well. They heard it and they said, we're going to share this truth that we've heard. They believed it. They acted on it. They proclaimed it. The shepherds, as we mentioned, believed the revelation of the word, but the observation declared that they obeyed it as well. They believed, and then they hurried to see the Christ child. They were active in their faith. They were obedient in that they spread the word, and they delivered a proclamation of the word to all that they encountered. Someone that they came in contact with, they would share that amazing truth. When they had seen him, when they had seen the Christ child, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Now, what had they heard? What had they heard? They had heard and seen an innumerable amount of angels. That'll change your evening. That'll change your night, your day, your week, your year. They had heard the events from Joseph and Mary about their encounter with angels and the story of how this little baby would become a man and save his people from their sins. They would have heard how Mary was highly favored by God and would exclaim in her own words about the Lord, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." This is one of the first years I'm understanding and realizing I'm on the front end now of the generation, not the back end. My sons and hopefully grandkids are now on the back end. And I love to see that I have a responsibility to my sons, to the next group, to the next generation, to share God's word with them, to encourage them, to pray for them, and they'll have a responsibility to their kids. These shepherds knew, as we should know, that generations of people would have their lives fulfilled, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren sanctified and made whole because of what they had witnessed that night. They spread the word. They spread the word, which I believe should help all of us understand this. I don't believe we can truly be so radically changed by the promises, the protection, the provision of a Savior and keep it to ourselves. They spread the word, a proclamation that he, Emmanuel, God with us, in the song, O Holy Night, continues to declare, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love. His gospel is peace. This loving law, this gospel, or good news of peace can and will reign in our hearts and should be and will be spoken from our lips. We truly love others and truly love one another as we share the good news through words and deeds of blessing. That's what God asks of us. We believe it, we trust it, we proclaim it. And then as well, what was the reaction of those who heard these things from the shepherds? It was this. It was an impact of the word. All who heard it were amazed. First, they were amazed that these shepherds could even proclaim it. And secondly, that God was doing an amazing work and sharing an amazing word through these men. Because shepherds were not the greatest people to meet. But God was doing something amazing, and he made an impact of the word through them. And good news is just not as impactful if there's no one there to hear it. He's not asking us. He's not asking us to go up on a mountain by ourselves and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, and there's no one around to hear it. He's saying that when we proclaim the scripture, someone needs to hear it. And oftentimes those who hear it and are touched by the Spirit of God will be amazed at what God will do in their life. There was an extreme impact on their lives that would cause them to wrestle with the fact that God had come into the world, and they could no longer ignore it. They could no longer sit on the fence of their faith. They had to make a decision. And he asked that of us as well. From the first hour of Jesus' life through his public ministry, he always was causing people to be amazed at what he did and what he said. Many of those folks trusted him, but also many walked away and refused this most precious of gifts. Many believed in what Christ had done, but many walked away. They refused to let the God of heaven change their path or their future. And at this time of year, I can tell you it's rare. I've never heard of it, but it's rare when you're sitting around, you know, the Christmas tree, if you exchange gifts and someone says, hey, I'm good this year, don't need any gifts. They just push them back to you. In fact, we were at our brother's house, and my little nephew, he's 5 years old. He's the only little one in our family. He got enough gifts to last him till June. He's got enough toys to last him till June. But you know what? He wasn't turning anything down. He wasn't saying, oh, okay, I've got enough. Hot Wheels, okay, Hot Wheels right over here. Planes and trains right over here. Action figures right up front. I mean, it was amazing. But he didn't turn one gift down. It's rare that anyone would turn down a precious gift. But there are those that would turn down the greatest of all gifts, that still stiff-arm the Lord Jesus and say, hey, I really don't need a Savior in my life. They may not say it in those words, but they say it really by their actions and deeds, that I don't need God in my life. But Luke 4 offers some amazing insight as well. Luke 4, when Christ was grown, a man, he said, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. They were amazed at what the shepherd said about the baby in the manger. They were amazed at what Christ himself said as he taught and as he preached. And the babe in the manger can easily be ignored, but the full-grown Son of God cannot be as easily dismissed. When Jesus preached or taught, the crowds would come from miles around to hear him. They would be astonished at his message. And even his enemies, even those that hated him, would say, no one ever spoke like this man. No one ever spoke like this man. Enemies of yours, enemies of mine, rarely will say, hey, he still speaks well, he still does well, he still works well. But even the enemies of Jesus would say, no one ever spoke like this. He even impacted those that would have hated him the most, even impact those that at a time later on would put him on a cross. God helps us. God helps us in this way. Luke chapter 24 says this. It's so interesting. When Christ was speaking to these men, he said, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. What did Jesus share with them? He helped them to see Jesus throughout the word. What was said in all the scriptures concerning himself, Jesus' footprints, his fingerprints are throughout the word of God. You can't go hardly anywhere in the word of God where Christ is not having an impact. And when Jesus spoke to these disciples on the road to Emmaus, he gave what had to be the greatest Bible study that was never recorded. It's so profound. It's not recorded what he said to these men, but it was a study about all the scriptures that concerned him, that referenced his historic life, that caused these men to want to be in his presence for an extended amount of time, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He told them and taught them and shared them with them about Jesus throughout the word. He helped them to see him more clearly. Oh, if we could get a glimpse of his glory in light of this. Everywhere we look in Scripture, Jesus' impact is felt. Jesus makes a difference. But this story did remind me, however, of another Guinness World Record that was broken this year. It was reported on November 14, 2014 in the Evansville Courier, that a Central Florida preacher gave a sermon that lasted more than 2 days and that became a new world record. Zach Zender began presenting the Bible from Genesis to Revelation at 7 a.m. Friday and finished at 12:21 p.m. Sunday. That's 53 hours and 18 minutes. Jesus obviously didn't take that long to share, but it still impacted these men and actually impacted them in ways that we want to emulate. But before I go on, I just want to say, when me or David or Dale goes over 5 minutes on our message, don't get too upset. We could keep you here till next Tuesday like that guy did. 53 hours. That is amazing. But it leads us to three important principles that had to go through these men's minds as Christ was teaching them. He wants our lives to count for three important things. Jesus wants our lives to count, to matter for something, something more than that will, more than just will benefit us. Firstly, he teaches us to love others. He wants our attitude to change. Christ knows, God knows, if he doesn't change our attitudes, he won't change our actions. Our actions won't change if on the inside we're still the same old people. He wants our attitudes to change toward others, and that will mean a heart change that begins from the inside out. Jesus knows that our actions will follow our attitudes, what's on the inside. Also, Jesus teaches us to share his love with others, as we mentioned, with action. With the change of attitude, we will begin to exhibit changes in our action. The neighbor we never thought of blessing may get encouragement from us that they never saw coming because of the action of Christ's joy and love flowing through us. In the video that we saw just a little bit ago, it was showing the actions of this church in this area and around the world, why it makes a difference. But it started with a heart change in the people here, an attitude that they wanted to bless others. And then lastly, Jesus teaches us to express the hope of salvation to others, an affirmation to them that they too can have a heart change. They too can change from the inside out. Jesus teaches us, like the shepherds did, to hear, to proclaim, and to affirm the word in others and lead them to trust what God has done. We must spread the word that all we encounter will be amazed at his amazing work. And then Luke 24, it goes on this way. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is over." So he went in to stay with them. He went in to stay with them. These three words are so powerful. I've labeled it, we're abiding in the word. Stay with us. When Christ comes into your life, it would be like these men. You want him around. These men on the road to Emmaus wanted something that lasts, something that would not fade away, something that would not be like the sweater that was returned yesterday. Or like it has been reported this week by a research group which found that customers tend to forget about their gift cards and don't spend the full balance, resulting in more than $1 billion in unused store credit every year. We want something that will last. And I'll tell you right now, if you think you're going to forget about your gift cards, mail them to 78... No, that's okay. I don't forget about my gift cards. My gift cards will be used before January 10th. They'll be gone. I'm eating out every day if I have to. But we want something that will last. As we will see, it goes farther than just a mere invitation to these men. They said, stay with us physically, but spiritually as well. Abide with us. Abide in us. Abide through us. They knew it was something more than just his physical presence. There was something about this man, Jesus, that they knew it changed them, that it made a difference. As he spoke to them, they understood something on the inside makes a difference when I hear him. And even now, when we hear from the word of God and it changes us, something longs for us to draw closer to him. These men, they wanted something that would last. I've labeled this abiding in the word because although they wanted his physical presence, they also showed us a powerful insight. When you're in Christ's presence, you long for that encounter to linger. If Christ is Savior and Lord, there's a longing to have him with you daily, to abide with you, to stay with you. When I mentioned the game show earlier, Jeopardy, I want to ask you, why did the game have that name? There are certainly other words that mean jeopardy, like danger or trouble or peril or accident or liability or hazard or risk of loss, harm, injury, or death. But I believe the marketing department knew they couldn't sell a game that was called danger or hazard or risk of death. But that is what we all face in this life. We all are in real jeopardy, real danger, real risk of death, not just physical death, but spiritual death. and a permanent separation from God Almighty. Do you know what one of the opposite antonyms of the word jeopardy is? It's salvation. Salvation. The ultimate assurance, the ultimate safety, the ultimate protection. At the end of the game show, Jeopardy, there's a last hope for the contestants. They can have one last opportunity to win the game if they are not too far behind. We now come to final, Jeopardy. Here's a clue. He offers redemption, salvation, hope, and eternal peace for all who are lost without him. You probably can answer this with me. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? We mentioned earlier that Alex Trebek had asked over 416,000 questions. Just imagine all the questions that have been asked in the history of mankind. Billions of people that have lived, billions of questions that have been asked. But all of the questions you have asked or been asked, this is the one that is the most important. Who is Jesus Christ? And everyone must ask or answer that question. The answer will decide your eternal destiny. This one question, who is Jesus Christ? And if you only had 10 seconds to give the most important answer in your life, how would you feel? What would you think? Why would it matter? I want to say quickly, I don't see how Alex Trebek could have listened to that for 30 years and just not gone a little wild. What would be your answer to the question that matters most? If you only had 10 seconds to answer the most important question in life, and the clock was ticking, the song was playing, and you only had 10 seconds, how would you answer the most important question, the most important question that matters most? I want to close with this. I have moved very slow in the area of cell phone technology. I believe, in fact, I think I know for sure that I was the last person on staff that actually had and still used a pager. In fact, one friend on staff encouraged me, she prodded me, and even gave me a little grief over not having a smartphone. And she shared what an advantage and convenience it would be. I did not listen for a long time and gave every excuse. But a few months ago, I actually got a smartphone, and needless to say, I should have listened to my friend. It has been an advantage, especially the talk-to-text feature. I don't know if I'm the slowest person to text or was, but I had to be in the top 10. Because my phone, it still had the ABC and all that on it, and you have to go ABC, and then you have to press that. And I was so slow, and sometimes I would just get frustrated and try to call them. But a lot of you just don't even pick up your phones anymore. If someone doesn't text you, you won't even answer. But it was a blessing. It was an advantage, especially that talk-to-text feature and also receiving emails about those that were in the hospitals moments after they were admitted and our team or myself was able to bless them. But this weekend was extremely important for me to have a smartphone because on Christmas Eve at 9:38 a.m., I received this text from my cousin. Cuz, need your prayers. Dad's on life support, blood pressure is low. Nurse said they've done all they can do. You may remember I mentioned this uncle of mine, my cousin's dad. I mentioned him a couple years ago. He lives in Waco, Texas, and he loves going to the Golden Corral. But my cousin, his dad, one of my favorite uncles, was very ill Christmas Eve. And I did pause to pray for my cousin, my uncle. Now, I do want to say quickly, Pastor Dale and I share something in common. He has his roots in Madisonville, Kentucky. I have my roots in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. My grandparents, my mom and dad, uncles and aunts all had their start in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And for the first 19 to 20 years of my life, all of the Christmases were spent either in Evansville with the Hopkinsville crowd up here, Or they were in, we were in Hopkinsville with the Evansville crowd down there. And I was so blessed by this uncle. I had the privilege to share the Christmas Eve message here, and my mind was a bit cluttered and distracted after the news from my cousin. But at 1:14 p.m. on my phone, I received an email from our worship director here, Maria. "Hey, Cliff, just wanted you to know Robbie and I are praying for you. May God's peace cover you and his words be spoken. Rest in him. You'll do great." The email and the prayer was so timely, and I was so encouraged that night to share the message, even with a heavy heart, for my cousin. And then on Christmas Day, while traveling to a Christmas celebration in Indianapolis, I received this text from my cousin at 3:11 p.m. "Last of the Hopkinsville clan has gone to see the rest of the crew. Rest in peace. Ole." My cousin had sent that text, and my uncle was gone Christmas Day. Our hearts were heavy, but they were also comforted because, you see, I know years ago my uncle answered the most important question in history. He answered the question, who is Jesus Christ? He knew that Christ, the baby in the manger who became a savior on the cross, had rescued him from jeopardy, rescued him from danger, rescued him from trouble, rescued him from peril. Jesus had rescued him from hazard or risk of loss, harm, or even death. And that same Savior that my uncle knew, that same Savior can bless, rescue, and redeem you as well. The Hopkinsville crowd and the Evansville crowd, he was the last uncle on my mom's side. The Hopkinsville and Evansville crowd are rejoicing on Christmas Day. I thought at first it was a difficult thing to have to lose someone on Christmas Day, but the grief turned to joy because we realized that he was in the presence of his Lord and in the presence of family and friends that he loved. Who is Jesus Christ? As we stand on the doorstep of a new year, maybe it's time for you to answer that question as well. Maybe it's time for you to answer that question as well. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Pray with me. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that even though we stand in jeopardy in this life, that you've given us a hope. You've given us the greatest question and the answer to that question. Who is Jesus Christ? Savior, Lord, Redeemer, Friend. Help us, Lord, to share that truth, to spread the word, Lord, as many of those shepherds were able to do. And Lord, we will give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great new year.